Indonesia and the Philippines are Southeast Asia's frontline states in the war on terror. Thailand is not. But that doesn't mean Al-Qaeda and its regional allies have ignored this predominantly Buddhist nation. An ongoing insurgency in the Muslim-dominated South has some worried that militant Islam may be gaining ground. In the last of three reports on the terrorist threat in Southeast Asia, NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Thailand.
For several months in the summer of 2003, the most wanted man in Southeast Asia, the operations chief of the group Jamaah Islamiyah, who doubled as Al-Qaeda's point man in the region, lived here, in a small six-story apartment building about an hour's drive from the capital, Bangkok. On the night of August 11th, CIA agents and plainclothes Thai police raided the building and took away the Indonesian terrorist known as Hambali. Neighbors like this man, who calls himself Tony, say they were shocked to learn the man who lived on the top floor was a terrorist.
There is so many foreigners here. I have no idea about, because they are free. Everyone free. You can come in, you can go.
Thailand is a place where almost anyone can come and go, a country heavily dependent on the tourist trade. Easy immigration procedures make it a favorite destination not just for tourists, but for criminals as well. Panitan Watanayakorn is a security analyst at Bangkok's Chulalongkorn University.
These organizations, these terrorist movements, have used that openness to use Thailand, especially money laundering, smuggling, forging government documentations, as investigations elsewhere discovered.
An alleged forger detained by Thai police last month, for example, is wanted by British authorities in connection with July's terrorist attacks in London. Police say the Jamaah Islamiyah Operations Chief Hambali, now in U.S. custody, came to Thailand frequently for meetings and used the country as a base from which to plan attacks like the 2002 nightclub bombings in Bali.
The web of contacts between Thai Muslims and members of Jamaah Islamiyah began in Abu Sayyaf training camps in Afghanistan back as far as 1989.
Francesca Law Davies, a Southeast Asian analyst at the International Crisis Group, says JI made good use of those contacts when Malaysia and Singapore began cracking down on Muslim militant groups after September 11th.
A number of suspects they were looking for fled often through Malaysia to Thailand, including most famously Hambali. And there were a number of Thais who provided shelter for those fleeing militants.
The southern Thai border town of Sungai Kolok offers a graphic illustration of just how easy it is for people to move back and forth across the border. Ethnic Malays from both sides breeze through immigration formalities with only a cursory examination, and some skip immigration altogether. 100 yards downstream, men and women in small wooden boats ferry produce, electronic goods, and each other across the narrow ribbon of water that separates northern Malaysia from southern Thailand. 28-year-old Miriam lives on the Thai side, but works in a restaurant just across the river.
Last month, around Malaysia's National Day, they stopped a lot of people from crossing along the river. But most of the time, they're not there, and we can cross with no problem.
Thai officials say the porous border figures in the ongoing insurgency in Thailand's three southernmost provinces, an insurgency that has left more than 900 people dead in less than 2 years. Officials complain Muslim militants fleeing Thai security forces sometimes slip across the border into Malaysia to avoid capture. And some analysts fear there may be a foreign hand or two guiding the insurgency. The Thai government says that's not the case. Zachary Abuza is the author of a recent book on Southeast Asian terrorism.
This is definitely homegrown. But to say that there's no connection to outside is naive. Saudi charities that have been implicated everywhere else around the world for supporting terrorism are active in southern Thailand. There are outside connections.
But there is a difference, says security analyst Panitan Watanayakorn, between having connections with foreigners and taking orders from foreigners.
They are here already, monitoring, evaluating, and trying to take it under that direction. But they cannot order the local people what to do. They themselves have their own leaders. They themselves have their own causes. They are not just about to subject themselves to become a followers of foreign leaders who came here with big money ordering them what to do. Not yet.
And it's not yet clear whether the southern insurgents share the foreigners' pan-Islamic, anti-American ideology. Again, Francesca Law Davies of the International Crisis Group.
The insurgency in southern Thailand has always been ethno-nationalist rather than Islamist. The targets are Thai authorities, Thai Buddhist civilians, and increasingly Muslim civilians suspected of cooperating with the authorities. They're not Westerners. They're not the United States and its lackeys. We're talking about different groups with different motivations.
But those motivations could intersect at a later date if the situation in the South deteriorates. If that happens, Law Davies writes in her group's latest report on the violence, this low-level ethno-nationalist insurgency could turn into something resembling a regional jihad. That's bad news for a country heavily dependent on tourism, an industry already battered by the Southeast Asian tsunami. A regional jihad could also mean that the violence spreads beyond Thailand's southern provinces. The Pananchong Warawihan Temple Complex is in the ancient city of Ayutthaya. It's a popular destination for Thai Buddhists and for Western tourists, too, who come by the busload on day trips from nearby Bangkok. The temple is just a few miles from where the Indonesian terrorist Hambali was captured 2 years ago, as he planned more high-profile attacks, including some in Thailand. Whether the insurgency widens and begins to target Westerners depends on how the Thai government handles the problem. Thai security analyst Panitan Watanayakorn warns things could go bad in a hurry if the government continues its heavy-handed approach to the insurgency and if it fails to address the long-standing economic and political grievances of the Muslim population in the south.
The local people may have no choice but to cooperate with the people from outside. If pressed too hard, if there's no room for them to stay or to exist, all of this may happen if the government is not careful.
It might happen anyway, and if it does, Watanayakorn says, Thailand will join Indonesia and the Philippines as frontline states in Southeast Asia's war on terror. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.